This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Protestations of Obama himself in his speech to the children in Northern Ireland about peace, when he said, "Those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back." Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. We got a lot of things going on. I'm telling you, it's just a bang-up day. Mueller. That's all I can say. Maybe we can say it like 50 times and it all goes away. Mueller. It's all we need to do, just sort of get it out of our system, you know. It's kind of interesting. This is going to be the Barr Report. In fact, we will be breaking in, obviously, to what is going on with the Barr Report, because this is history in the making. Bill Barr is about to give his press conference, I believe, at any time. So we are going to chime in. I don't know who we're going to use for this. We'd like to use one of the tubes out there. The headline on Fox News says, "Mueller Madness." I would tend to agree with this. Mueller Madness. So right now we're waiting for this press conference, and I'm on Fox. I'm too close for missiles, so I'm going to be switching to guns here. And I'm going to be going into, I believe, a YouTube madness, frenzy, about what's going on here. I'm going to join the frenzy. What do you think? Just go right ahead and join it, Paul. Be our guest. And we're going to dive in and figure out. Actually, this is big news today. Mueller is, his report is going, the redacted portion of it, all 400 pages of the redacted report, are going to be released. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. The stuff that the Attorney General is doing right now, what he's doing is standard stuff that Attorney Generals do. So if you're hearing out there that he's a this and he's a that and he's a lackey for the president, yada, 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 Guess again. Okay, guess again. He's not. Mueller is doing right now what he's supposed to do. He gets paid to do these things. He's going to have a press conference. He's going to announce what he's done. He's going to talk about, I'm sure, I'm just guessing, but I'm sure he's going to come out and he's going to talk about what is going on with the president. He's going to say that he's probably briefed the president on the information he's going to give. Now, remember, he works for the president. See, he works for the president. You know, he's part of the executive branch. So this is what that's a normal course for a release like this, for such a story, obviously. This is something that he's going to lay the groundwork on for further investigations. And this is what I think is really going to be the big takeaway from this in just a second.
Your continued support.
Yeah, we got, we're large and in charge here with the report. So when it comes up, we're going to break in to my monologue. All right. So anyway, what we have here, they're setting up the stage. They've got the flags out. You know, it says Department of Justice, little emblem that they have, of course. That's all out here. And then he's going to be talking about the report and what he can and cannot do. He's going to tell people that he can't let out grand jury information. That's going to be the key thing. The grand jury information is kept confidential and sealed, period. So it's not going to get out. Now, we know that whatever is in there, and he's going to ask people, this is confidential information, don't let it out. You know what I mean? Or this is the report, and there's some things, blah, they're confidential, not going to be in there, they're going to be redacted. Then there's going to be other parts that he's going to emphasize, don't let it out. Well, the Democrats, as you know, let everything out, and I'm sure that Adam Schiff. Remember, Adam Schiff is one of the buckaroos, as we call him. He's a member of the buckaroo gang. Remember Ed Buck? He's a buckaroo. So anyway, Adam Schiff, notoriously known for leaking, will leak it. And whatever they get their hands on, they'll leak. Now, there's going to be, apparently, a select group of members of Congress going to see a less redacted version of this report. Now, what do we expect from the report itself after we take a look at the redactions and everything? My guess, I think you're going to see a lot more that's going to really anger the Democrats, because they're going to find out who turned on the Democrats. And I think they're going to surmise that Mueller turned on them. Because there was no there. Mueller knew it. Mueller knew it in early 2017. There was no Russian collusion. Mueller knew the dossier was bogus. Mueller knew the information that had been gathered by the FISA courts was bogus. And the subpoenas and the wiretap, everything that was derived from the FISA courts was bogus. Everything that brought it to the court was bogus. So, now these are very serious criminal offenses along the road here that we're describing. And Mueller knew it at the time. But he sat on it. He did his level best to help out the Democratic Party by sitting on it, because it was sat on. If he had divulged this information out before the election in 2018, before the midterms, could you imagine what would happen to the Democrats? They'd be, imagine what's going to happen to them in 2020. That's what you have to look at. They're done. So that's if this scenario I'm drawing for you is true, which I think what is the there? There's nothing there. Now, that means that a lot of things that have happened to a lot of people on the periphery. Now, we had Jerome Corsi here on the show earlier in the week. And he was very adamant about their pressure tactics that Mueller and his team were using to coerce false information and false commissions of crimes, literally. In other words, the perjury traps. Now, here's a big one. What about Michael Flynn? We still have the Michael Flynn situation going on now, don't we? I hate it when this happens. The Michael Flynn situation, of course, is very, I mean, if you don't know, Michael Flynn was one of the first targets, because Michael Flynn had important information that was given to him by the Russian ambassador. We can't forget about this. This is very important to understand. He had absolute hard information about various things, such as pedophile rings out of Russia. Gee, I wonder why they wanted that information. Anyway, they did the setup on him, and what happened? They did the setup on him, and guess what? He got caught in a perjury trap, they say. Now, he's recanting everything at this point, and people are struggling to get their arms around what's going on. And they're saying, wait a minute, this is not working for me. What we've got to do right now is we've got to get this together for everybody. And they're going to get it together for everybody. This is what is so great about this, is that now with all the, well, even with the redaction, I think you're going to see that there's more to the story in terms of being able to say to people, look, Flynn's innocent. That's what they're going to say. And then that's going to infuriate him. I mean, this whole thing with Flynn, and he's got a lot of support out there, but this whole thing with Flynn is really, really developing in a very big way, and we're really happy to see this come out. I'm telling you, it's going to come out looking like Flynn, all these guys, other people were truly set up, and that's the quick conclusion people are going to come to. That's going to be devastating, if you will, to the rest of the group. Now, we're going to go to commercial right now. If they step up to the podium and start the press conference, we'll break right in. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. Giza Dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Calusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
We'll And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're still sitting here waiting for Attorney General Barr's urgent press conference on the release of the Mueller report at the Department of Justice. So that is coming up right now. He hasn't shown up to the podium. It's a 9 o'clock start time, and it's now 9:19. So we have to take that into consideration. Obviously, is he an Obama press conference kind of guy? Make you wait for 30 minutes before he comes up. Remember that? I mean, really, and, you know, it got to be very, very, this is a major story, and I understand that. I'm going to make excuses for him. Just this one time, make sure that Attorney General William Barr is not, William P. Barr, is not an Obama press conference kind of guy. Anyway, I'm sure that it's got to be hectic and crazy going on right now. Anyway, they've now put up the banner live shortly, so we have to call. They're back. We're back. So I don't know. We have to wait and see what happens to the screen. Sort of giving you the screen play-by-play here on Agenda 21 Radio. By the way, visit our website, agenda21radio.news, agenda21radio.news, and also or a21r.com, a21r.com. And you can also go to newcaliforniastate.com. We've got breaking news on the Oroville Dam situation, quite an urgent situation. We're going to be talking about that. I can only minimally talk about it because of our lawsuit. And so just the breaking news of what we can basically give you, fundamentally give you, we will be giving you on Agenda 21 Radio. And but this is very, very urgent, so we want to basically get out what we can get out. Okay, so anyway, Attorney General William Barr, big news. I mean, everybody's got the Bill Barr thing going on, and now we're going to have an Oroville Dam thing going on, and it's kind of interesting. Don't you love the simpatico that's happening here? Here it is. By the way, it happens to be April 18th. April 18th right now. You know, I think that this is basically what is happening, yeah. This is basically what is happening is that William Barr is going to come out. He's going to brief everybody on what he can brief everybody. I think he's going to reemphasize the fact that he cannot give out, you know, pertinent standard information. Guys, this whole thing is a standard operating procedure for an attorney general, what he's doing. There's no excitement to be built about the fact that this is normally what an attorney general would do. So it's a normal course of information process, and he could have had probably somebody come out and speak about it, but I think I think the fact that he's not using a spokesperson and it's himself coming out is a statement in and of itself. Okay, it's in and of himself that he is there as the attorney general. Like I said, he could turn it over to a press conference, to his press agents or his press person, and that could happen. Just boom, done. But he's not doing that. He's not doing that. What he's doing, of course, is doing it himself. So that's a little bit weighty, if you know what I mean. Think about it. It's weighty. In other words, this is the stuff that, when you have the attorney general step up and making these comments, it carries a lot of legal merit. So this is why they're all upset on the other side. It's interesting listening to the conversation from Nadler and other folks that we've been hearing out there is that when Obama had Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch as the attorney generals, I mean, it was just common knowledge with everybody on both sides of the aisle that they worked for Obama. There was no discernment. You know, see, the attorney general is also supposed to be in charge of, you know, overseeing the actions of the president. And he needs to have some impartiality here. And now this is the thing that's really absolutely driving them nuts, is they don't have no Eric Holder anymore. They don't have Loretta Lynch anymore. And they don't have Obama. So the power vacuum is that sucking sound is leaving. You know what I mean? So now they're kind of like, oh my gosh, what do we have here? What do we have here? We have the only defense that we can throw up there right now is to attack the messenger. You know, they say, don't shoot the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. And really, Barr is the messenger. Barr is nothing more than the messenger who's carrying the message. he is not Eric Holder, who's carrying the message for Obama. However, what they've done is the classic flip the script here, which is always a favorite of the left. Now, a bar is working for, well, in the truest sense, without impartiality, they're saying, for the president, for President Trump. And of course, the reality check is Barr is not performing any differently than he did when he was with the Bush administration. He's a standard operating procedure kind of guy. And he looks at it and says, this is what it is. And of course, we all knew there was spying. That case has been absolutely, completely blown out of the water by all the facts. And some of these facts aren't hard to get to substantiate the claims that from the dossier on, it was absolutely false. There's nothing to dispute it. They have nothing. And we knew that there was no collusion. We knew there was no We knew that in Agenda 21 Radio and Scott Bennett and other people, because we were having contact with those folks too. And there was no, I mean, we checked out some of the dates that they were claiming and dates and times, and we were like, wait, we talked to so-and-so on that day, and he's supposed to be in another country. What? You know, so none of it was shaken out for us either and everybody else. And then you start looking at the facts and digging into some of the facts just on your own. And many of you citizen journalists know what I'm talking about. You guys were out there on the main line fighting this battle and pulling up tons and tons and tons. And I want to thank all of our citizen journalists over the years. We've had many, and you're now starting to throw some real good stuff at us. Keep up the good work, and A21R.com is the, you know, just I'm trolling right now for citizen journalists, but A21R.com is put the Paul in front of it. Paul, A21R.com is the email address for all of you citizen journalists out there. We appreciate, listen, we've gotten citizen journalists who have been absolutely spot on, from Benghazi to the weapons shipment to the border. Of course, the border is still opening up and going crazy. That's the distraction. They want the distraction from the border, don't they? They want to keep all this chaos going because they live in the world of chaos, because they want to break down the rule of law in this country. That's the bottom line. I think that everybody kind of understands the fundamentals of the attack on the United States. And the attack is coming. It is absolutely coming. Now, one of the things I do want to say, and I do want to share with you when this press report comes out, or this press conference comes out, you have, I think it's the popcorn time and the soda pop time. I'm just watching a lot of this stuff that we already know about that's just going to start coming out. So enjoy yourself, enjoy the ride, I guess. But I'm going to say, along this road to get to this point, it's been a long slog, of course, and I want to tell you that you cannot discount the power and the force of the citizen journalist. That First Amendment right that all of you have out there to be citizen journalist, to exercise your right for freedom of the press. Now, you can be a press person at any time, fingertips away. That's what's saving this nation right now, are the citizen journalists who jump on blogs, who share thoughts, who email people, get the information out. Look, some of the information isn't true that you send us. We get that. But you don't know that it's not true. We can confirm whether or not and use our resources and other people to collaborate what's going on. And we get, you know, that but keep that information coming to sources like myself and other people, Red State Talk Radio. All of us over here at Red State Talk Radio appreciate every little bit of what you're sending to us. So you, the citizen journalists, are the ones that are driving freedom and liberty right now. Stay with us. More to come here on Agenda 21 Radio.
Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. Giza Dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
So, the former Secretary of State had an unauthorized server, and those are your words, in her basement, correct?
Correct.
Who was protecting that information? Who was protecting that server?
Well, not much.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're taking a look right now at an article by Jeff Carlson from the Epoch Times. The Epoch Times. Looking at a picture, and this is very telling, picture of Attorney General William Barr shakes hands with U.S. Attorney John Huber at the Justice Department in Washington in March 2019. Oh, that guy. Yeah, that guy. It says here in this article, which is kind of interesting, from the Epoch Times. From the Epoch Times. The weeks leading up to the release of the special counsel report gave us a nearly unprecedented volume of news events connected to the Spygate scandal, Ukraine, and ongoing investigations. From the release of depositions to the latest of comments from newly installed Attorney General William Barr, the news flow has been nearly overwhelming. That's true. Here are some of the things he's talking about. Barr, now this is the countdown to all this stuff about what's going on here now up until this press announcement. So he may come in on the press conference. He's not there yet. We're now, it's 9:34. And he's not there yet, of course. Barr was confirmed on February 14th despite the objections of Democrats over a 19-page memo that Barr had written to Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein in June 2018, describing why he believed President Donald Trump hadn't obstructed justice when he fired former FBI Director James Comey. That's his legal, that's his opinion, and he's, you know, the former Attorney General. It does carry a great deal of weight, of course. On March 5th, Barr further angered the left when he announced that he wouldn't recuse himself from the ongoing Russia investigation being conducted by the special counsel. Here we go. Here we go. William Barr. Rod Rosenstein's with him.
Good morning, everybody, and thanks for being here this morning. As you know, on March 22nd, Special Counsel Robert Mueller concluded his investigation into matters related to Russian attempts to interfere in our 2016 presidential election, and he submitted his confidential report to me pursuant to department regulations. As I said during my Senate confirmation hearing and since, I'm committed to ensuring the greatest degree possible of transparency concerning the special counsel's investigation, consistent with the law. At 11 this morning, I'm going to transmit copies of the public version of the special counsel's report to the chairman and ranking members of the Senate and House Judiciary Committees. The Department of Justice will also make the report available to the American people by posting it on the department's website after it has been delivered to Congress. I'd like to make a few comments today on the report. Before I do that, I want to thank Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein for joining me here today and for his assistance and counsel throughout this process. Rod, as you know, has served at the department for nearly 30 years with dedication and distinction, and it's been a great privilege and pleasure for me to work with him since my confirmation. He had well-deserved plans to step back from public service that were interrupted by my asking him to help in my transition. Rod has been an invaluable partner, and I am grateful that he is willing to help me and has been able to see the special counsel's investigation through to its conclusion. Thanks, Rod. I'd also like to thank Special Counsel Robert Mueller for his service and the thoroughness of his investigation, particularly his work exposing the nature of Russia's attempts to interfere in our electoral process. As you know, one of the primary purposes of the Special Counsel's investigation was to determine whether President Trump's campaign or any individual associated with it conspired or coordinated with the Russian government to interfere in the 2016 election. Volume 1 of the special counsel's report describes the results of that investigation. As you will see, the special counsel's report states that his, quote, investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. I am sure that all Americans share my concern about the efforts of the Russian government to interfere in our presidential election. As the special counsel report makes clear, the Russian government sought to interfere in our election process. But thanks to the special counsel's thorough investigation, we now know that the Russian operatives who perpetrated these schemes did not have the cooperation of President Trump or the Trump campaign, or the knowing assistance of any other American for that matter. That is something that all Americans can and should be grateful to have confirmed. The special counsel report outlines two main efforts by the Russian government to influence the 2016 election. First, the report details efforts by the Internet Research Agency, a Russian company with close ties to the Russian government, to sow social discord among American voters through disinformation and social media operations. Following a thorough investigation of this disinformation campaign, the special counsel brought charges in federal court against several Russian nationals and entities for their respective roles in this scheme. Those charges remain pending, and the individual defendants remain at large. But the special counsel found no evidence that any American, including anyone associated with the Trump campaign, conspired or coordinated with the Russian government or the IRA in this illegal scheme. Indeed, as the report states, quote, the investigation did not identify evidence that any U.S. person knowingly or intentionally coordinated with the IRA's interference operation, unquote. Put another way, the special counsel found no collusion by any Americans in IRA's illegal activities. Second, the report details efforts by the Russian military officials associated with the GRU, the Russian Military Intelligence Organization, to hack into computers and steal documents and emails from individuals associated with the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton's campaign for the purpose of eventually publicizing these documents. Obtaining such unauthorized following a thorough investigation of these hacking operations, the special counsel brought charges in federal court against several Russian military officers for their respective roles in these illegal hacking operations. Those charges are still pending, and the defendants remain at large. But again, the special counsel's report did not find any evidence that members of the Trump campaign or anyone associated with the campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in these hacking operations. In other words, there was no evidence of the Trump campaign collusion with the Russian government's hacking. The special counsel's investigation also examined Russian efforts to publish stolen emails and documents on the internet. The special counsel found that after the GRU disseminated some of the stolen documents to entities that it controlled, DC Leaks and Guccifer II, the GRU transferred some of the stolen materials to WikiLeaks for publication. WikiLeaks then made a series of document dumps. The special counsel also investigated whether any member or affiliate of the Trump campaign encouraged or otherwise played a role in these dissemination efforts. Under applicable law, publication of these types of material would not be criminal unless the publisher also participated in the underlying hacking conspiracy. Here, too, the special counsel's report did not find that any person associated with the Trump campaign illegally participated in the dissemination of the materials. Finally, the special counsel investigated a number of links or contacts between the Trump campaign officials and individuals connected with the Russian government during the 2016 presidential campaign. After reviewing these contacts, the special counsel did not find any conspiracy to violate U.S. law involving Russian-linked persons and any persons associated with the Trump campaign. So that's the bottom line. After nearly 2 years of investigation, thousands of subpoenas, hundreds of warrants, and witness interviews, the special counsel confirmed that the Russian government sponsored efforts to illegally interfere with the 2016 presidential election, but did not find that the Trump campaign or other Americans colluded in those efforts. After finding no underlying collusion with Russia, the special counsel's report goes on to consider whether certain actions of the president could amount to obstruction of the special counsel's investigation. As I addressed in my March 24th letter, the special counsel did not make a traditional prosecutorial judgment regarding this allegation. Instead, the report recounts 10 episodes involving the president and discusses potential legal theories for connecting those activities to the elements of an obstruction offense. After carefully reviewing the facts and legal theories outlined in the report and in consultation with the Office of Legal Counsel and other department lawyers, The Deputy Attorney General and I concluded that the evidence developed by the special counsel is not sufficient to establish that the President committed an obstruction of justice offense. Although the Deputy Attorney General and I disagreed with some of the special counsel's legal theories and felt that some of the episodes examined did not amount to obstruction as a matter of law, we did not rely solely on that in making our decision. Instead, we accepted the special counsel's legal framework for purposes of our analysis and evaluated the evidence as presented by the special counsel in reaching our conclusions. In assessing the President's actions discussed in the report, it is important to bear in mind the context. President Trump faced an unprecedented situation. As he entered into office and sought to perform his responsibilities as president, federal agents and prosecutors were scrutinizing his conduct before and after taking office and the conduct of some of his associates. At the same time, there was relentless speculation in the news media about the president's personal culpability. Yet, as he said from the beginning, there was, in fact, no collusion. And as the special counsel's report acknowledges, there is substantial evidence to show that the president was frustrated and angered by his sincere belief that the investigation was undermining his presidency, propelled by his political opponents, and fueled by illegal leaks. Nonetheless, the White House fully cooperated with the special counsel's investigation, providing unfettered access to campaign and White House documents, directing senior aides to testify freely, and asserting no privilege claims. And at the same time, the president took no act that in fact deprived the special counsel of the documents and witnesses necessary to complete his investigation. Apart from whether the acts were obstructive, this evidence of non-corrupt motives weighs heavily against any allegation that the president had a corrupt intent to obstruct the investigation. Now, before I take questions, I want to address a few aspects of the process for producing the public report that I am releasing today. As I said several times, the report contains limited redactions related to four categories of information. To ensure as much transparency as possible, those redactions have been clearly labeled so that the readers can tell which redactions correspond to which categories. Now, to recall, those categories are 6E material, grand jury material, information that the IC believes would disclose sources and methods, information that would impair the investigation and prosecution of other cases that are underway, and finally, information that implicates the privacy and reputational interests of peripheral third parties. As you will see, most of the redactions were compelled by the need to prevent harm to ongoing matters and to comply with court orders prohibiting the public disclosure of information bearing on ongoing investigations and criminal cases, such as the IRA case and the Roger Stone case. These redactions were applied by Department of Justice attorneys working closely together with attorneys from the special counsel's office, as well as the intelligence community, and prosecutors are handling the ongoing cases. The redactions are their work product. No redactions done by anybody outside this group. There were no redactions done by anybody outside this group. No one outside this group proposed any redactions, and no one outside the department has seen the unredacted report, with the exception of certain sections that were made available to IC, the intelligence community, for their advice on protecting intelligence sources and methods. Consistent with longstanding executive branch practice, the decision whether to assert executive privilege over any portion of the report rested with the President of the United States. Because the White House had voluntarily cooperated with the special counsel, significant portions of the report contained material over which the President could have asserted privilege, and he would have been well within his rights to do so. Following my March 29th letter, the Office of the White House Counsel requested the opportunity to review the redacted version of the report in order to advise the President on the potential invocation of privilege, which is consistent with longstanding practice. Following that review, the President confirmed that in the interest of transparency and full disclosure to the American people, he would not assert privilege over the special counsel's report. Accordingly, the public report I am releasing today contains redactions only for the four categories that I previously outlined, and no material has been redacted based on executive privilege. In addition, earlier this week, the President's personal counsel requested and was given the opportunity to read a final version of the redacted report before it was publicly released. That request was consistent with the practice followed under the Ethics in Government Act, which permitted individuals named in a report prepared by an independent counsel the opportunity to read the report before publication. The President's personal lawyers were not permitted to make and did not request any redactions. In addition to making the redacted report public, we are also working with Congress to accommodate their legitimate oversight interests with respect to the special counsel's investigation. We have been consulting with Chairman Graham and Chairman Nadler through this process, and we will continue to do so. Given the limited nature of the redactions, I believe that the publicly released report will allow every American to understand the results of the special counsel's investigation. Nevertheless, in an effort to accommodate congressional requests, we will make available, subject to appropriate safeguards, to a bipartisan group of leaders from several congressional committees, a version of the report with all redactions removed, except those relating to grand jury information. Thus, these members of Congress will be able to see all of the redacted material for themselves, with a limited exception of that which, by law, cannot be shared. I believe that this accommodation, together with my upcoming testimony before the Senate and House Judiciary Committees, will satisfy any need Congress has for information regarding the special counsel's investigation. Once again, I'd like to thank you for being here, and I will now have a few questions.
Mr. Attorney General, we don't have the report in hand, so could you explain for us the special counsel's articulated reason for not reaching a decision on obstruction of justice, and if it had anything to do with the department's longstanding guidance on not indicting a sitting president? And you say you disagreed with some of his legal theories. What did you disagree with him on?
I'd leave it to his description in the report, the special counsel's own articulation of why he did not want to make a determination as to whether or not there was an obstruction offense. But I will say that when we met with him, Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein and I met with him, along with Ed O'Callaghan, who is the principal associate deputy, on March 5th, we specifically asked him about the OLC opinion and whether or not he was taking the position that he would have found a crime but for the existence of the OLC opinion. And he made it very clear several times that that was not his position. He was not saying that but for the OLC opinion, he would have found a crime. He made it clear that he had not made the determination that there was a crime.
Did you disagree with him on that, Mr. Attorney General?
Given that, why did you and Mr. Rosenstein feel the need you had to take it to the next step to conclude that there was no crime, especially given that DOJ policy?
Well, the very prosecutorial function and all our powers as prosecutors, including the power to convene grand juries and the compulsory process that's involved there, is for one purpose and one purpose only. It's determined yes or no. Was alleged conduct criminal or not criminal? That is our responsibility, and that's why we have the tools we have. And we don't go through this process just to collect information and throw it out to the public. We collect this information, we use that compulsory process for the purpose of making that decision. And because the special counsel did not make that decision, we felt the department had to, and that was a decision by me and the Deputy Attorney General.
Yes. Did the special counsel indicate that he wanted you to make the decision or that it should be left for Congress? And also, how do you respond to criticism you're receiving from congressional Democrats that you're acting more as an attorney for the president rather than as the chief law enforcement officer?
Special Counsel Mueller did not indicate that his purpose was to leave the decision to Congress. I hope that was not his view, since we don't convene grand juries and conduct criminal investigations for that purpose. I didn't talk to him directly about the fact that we were making the decision, but I am told that his reaction to that was that it was my prerogative as Attorney General to make that decision.
Attorney General Barb Catherine here at Fox News. Hi there. Is there anything you can share today about your review of the genesis of the Russia investigation and whether assets have been provided to investigate?
No, today I'm really focused just on the process of releasing this report.
Attorney General, senior Democrats in Congress have asked for Robert Mueller himself to testify. Robert Mueller remains a Justice Department employee as of this moment. Will you permit him to testify publicly to Congress?
I have no objection to Bob Mueller personally testifying.
Mr. Attorney General, it's not just Democrats who have questioned some of the process here. A Republican-appointed judge on Tuesday said you have, quote, created an environment that has caused a significant part of the American public to be concerned about these redactions. You cleared the president on obstruction. The president is fundraising off of your comments about spying. And here you have remarks that are quite generous to the president, including acknowledging his feelings and his emotions. So what do you say to people on both sides of the aisle who are concerned that you are trying to protect the president?
Well, actually, the statements about his sincere beliefs are recognized in the report that there was substantial evidence for that. So I'm not sure what your basis is for saying that I'm being generous to the president.
It just seems like there's a lot of effort to say, to go out of your way to acknowledge how this.
Well, is there another precedent for it?
No, but it's unusual.
Okay, so unprecedented is an accurate description, isn't it?
Yes. Okay. What do you say to people who are concerned that you're trying to protect the president?
Eric.
There's a lot of public interest in the absence of the special counsel and members of his team. Was he invited to join you up on the podium? Why is he not here? This is his report, obviously, that you're talking about today.
No, it's not.
The report he did for me as the Attorney General. He is required under the regulation to provide me with a confidential report. I'm here to discuss my response to that report and my decision, entirely discretionary, to make it public, since these reports are not supposed to be made public. That's what I'm here to discuss.
Is it impropriety for you to come out and sort of what appears to be sort of spinning the report before the public gets a chance to read it?
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's it for the Mueller report. Wow. Well, I mean, we're going to try and unpack a little bit of this in the second hour here. On Agenda 21 Radio, we kind of stopped all kinds of other programming because we just got so many special hits coming your way anyway. But where's the script for the first hour, right? And where's the script for the second and third hour? I think there's just so much here to really unpack from the Mueller report, so we're going to be coming back to that. And also a situation up in Oroville. We're going to be talking about that as well. Another big news story. We're going to be as objective and simplified as we possibly can be because of various things happening. So anyway, remember to visit our website. We'll keep you up to date on the website of what's going on. Both big news stories, the Mueller report and the Oroville Dam situation. So keep going to the website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com. And right now we got to run for time, believe it or not. I can't believe this. This is just a huge, huge news day. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. And, of course, newcaliforniastate.com. That's the big one that's happening, newcaliforniastate.com. And stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.